Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 199 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we are going to recap this week's nerd news. We'll begin in entertainment with a quick Sonic 2 and Lego Star Wars review, and then discuss the big epic fundraising that took place. And in our transition from entertainment to tech, we'll talk about an upcoming NFT film, MasterCard getting into the metaverse plays, an update to Cybertruck, and a bunch of space news. There's a lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, episode 199. Almost at that 200 mark.
Creeping on it.
Momentous occasion. We're not going to celebrate with anything special, but no, maybe we'll surprise some people. But let's get on it here and jump right into, you know, a movie review.
Yeah, it's
Sonic 2.
That's usually how we do. Well, I mean, I took my daughter to see this one. We did talk about the first one a lot, given that it was so fan molded, you know, of a movie. So I went and saw the second. I took my 7-year old to go see it. She loved it. Like, I'm not going to lie, she absolutely loved it. I thought it was just as good, if not slightly better, than the first one. So if you enjoyed that Sonic movie, you know, like, I could shut off my brain and enjoy a child's movie, especially if it has all kinds of nostalgia from my childhood and everything. You know, like, they had a couple Sonic Easter eggs in there. They pretty much, you know, picked up the movie right after the first one ended, ran with it. Jim Carrey was all of Jim Carrey in it. You know, you could tell a lot of the lines had to have been improvised from him. Like, there's no way some dude wrote that for him. He was funny. Honestly, Knuckles steals the show. Like, it's very much...
I was really hoping that Knuckles was going to show up and he was going to give, like, a regular, like, human toothy smile to start...
a racist comment.
just to go back to the original problems with the first movie and just have... Now Knuckles have all the messed up teeth that got rewritten or re-edited out in the first one.
No, it was a good movie, you know, especially as for a family movie. It's, you know, it dives deep into, like, more of the Sonic, like, lore, I guess. Like, Sonic never really had a major storyline to play it. You just spun around and got rings, and...
He did have a storyline. You know,
but, like...
Nobody really paid attention.
Yeah, nobody gave a shit.
There was a Sonic comic book that Sega put out back in the day that gave a little bit of story.
Well, and, like, let's be honest here. Who played the Sonic game and got all the gems out of those fucking mazes? Nobody. If you got all those fucking gems in the Sonic game and beat the Sonic game, send me a fucking email, comment in the fucking in the Cantina group, because you get a fucking no prize. Like, there's no way anybody was doing any of that shit. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I saw in a presser, though, that Jim Carrey said this is probably his last movie. He retired right after it, you know, and to think that, like, he's going to go out on Sonic 2 and not, like, another, like, eternal, you know, movie, like...
Yeah.
I don't know if that sits right with me. Like,
it doesn't necessarily sit right, but he came out, I think it...
I
want to say it came out after, like, his comments about the Oscars.
Yeah.
And what took place. And yeah. He was just talking, he's just fed up with the industry.
Did you hear
and
what
he just
said?
Like, I'm done.
Well, and when he said it, like, I couldn't even argue with him. He's like, look, I like putting paint on canvas. I like my life. He's like, I've done enough and I am enough. And it's like, how do you argue with that, bro? Yeah. Like after his career and everything, it's like, how do you argue? Like, no, you've done enough, bro. Like, I do want...
Dance for us, clown.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Put on a green mask again. Let's do this.
Well, he did say in an interview I saw, they asked him if he'd ever do Ace Ventura 3, and he said if Christopher Nolan directed it. And I'm really hoping, I'm praying to God that Christopher Nolan's smoking a joint somewhere on a private jet going, challenge accepted.
You didn't think I'd
fucking do it, did you, Jim? Let's go. And oh my God, I would fucking love it. Like, I wish more high profile, uber rich, I never have to work again people would just start making nonsense like that. Just for people like us.
Well, I mean, Maybe we'll get something like that, but probably not.
I mean, honestly, if this is how he goes out and this is his last film, it was still quality. It had a lot of Jim Carrey nostalgia. You know, you could see a little bit of Ace Ventura in that character. You could see a little bit of Fire Marshal Bill. Like there's like Jim Carrey got to be Jim Carrey in this role. And, you know, if that's how he wants to go out, then more power to him.
Yeah. I still haven't seen the first one.
What?
Yeah. I'm always missing a lot of movies and things. It just hasn't made the cut yet.
I know. You go on planes enough to catch up on some shit.
If I scrolled across it right now, I'd turn it on.
It's free on Paramount Plus, I'm pretty sure.
Paramount Plus. Get the hell out of here. Is Paramount Plus free yet?
Yeah, well, I think there is a free version. If not the paid version, it's only like $3, $4.
Don't you tell me that.
And Yellowstone's going to be on there. I already watched Yellowstone. Well, season 5 is going to be on Paramount, not Peacock.
It'll make it to Peacock eventually.
They're about to lose that.
All right.
Well, and let's. Secondly, I wanted to do a quick review for the Lego Star Wars game, just because I posted in the Cantina group how good it was, and somebody asked me if I was going to write a review. No, I'm not going to write a review, but I'll give you a quick 3 minutes of it right now. That game is the shit. All right, so I'm going to preface it with no Lego game will be complete to me until they do full online co-op. Like the fact that I can't online co-op a Lego game 20 years after the first fucking Lego game, and like every franchise has been Legoed the fuck out, and I still have to do local co-op, like that to me is just such a major failure. And I don't know if it's just like the studios don't want to host a server or some shit, but like for the loyal Lego game buyers, like cut me a break, man. Like give me something. You know, other than that, the game is amazing. Like they changed the whole character buying screen. It used to just be, you know, smash everything, get the tokens, beat the game, go back with all the characters unlocked, beat the game again and get all the like the little pieces. Now it has a very much more like in-depth world open, a lot more flight and vehicle fights, and the graphics in 4K are just amazing. I mean, cuz like you don't have to do much, you know. So like it's so vibrant. They, you know, the original Lego games, they had like no voice actors. You remember those? It was just like gestures.
Funny like, gestures, huh? but they nailed the gestures though.
There is a button in this game that you can turn off voices and do all gestures. You can play it either way you want.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like so like I'm playing it right now with all the voices, but when I unlock everything and go back and have to go back to all the levels, I'm for sure turning mumbles straight up mumbles, like because that shit used to love me, or you know, I used to love that shit. Like the pantomimes and everything for the character. Characters were great. But yeah, if you are a Lego game fan like me, I mean, and yes, I'm a almost 42-year-old man that likes to play child Lego games. I get unbelievably stoned and just shut my brain off and feel like I've accomplished something in a video game anytime I play one, so just let me have that. Like this is an epic game, man. Like I really, really enjoy it. I thought it was just gonna be, you know, they've done all the Star Wars Legos before, so I thought they were just gonna regurgitate levels, throw them in with an updated, you know, graphics, and put it in 4K and 60 hertz and all that shit, and just slap a logo on it and make some money. It is a completely new game. None of the shit's the same. None of the shit's from other Star Wars games. Like, yeah, I was really impressed once I bought it.
All right. Well, if I'm bored, look for a game. I probably won't go with that one, but maybe we'll see.
I'm telling you, it's such a fun game to just like, hey, I got 20 minutes and I'm bored. You know, you just throw it on, you do a little bit, of the dance, and then when you gotta go, you gotta go. You put it down, you don't feel bad. Like, it's, you know, like, I'm putting down Elden Ring to play this, because, like, Elden Ring, man, I gotta sit down and really, like, fucking hone in on. Like, I gotta really be on my shit. You gotta set a game plan. They give you no rails. It's just, like, you're this dude in this middle of this crazy fucking world. You have no clue where to go, what to do. Like, I gotta really switch on my brain. And if I take one too many bong rips, man, I'm like, I ain't hitting that dodge button fast enough. And I'm losing runes left and right, you know. Lego, man, I lose coins, I fall off an edge, all my coins blow up and go everywhere. Ah, whatever.
All right. Well, let's move on to this week's actual news stories. We actually don't have much entertainment, so good thing you had some things to discuss there. But first one is that Sony was a part of Epic Games, which raised $2 billion this week, but Sony was $1 billion worth of that. Gave them a $1 billion investment into Epic, and there's no information about why, right? There's no information about what they're getting from Epic. And I guess this is similar. You read into the article. Sony did this a couple years ago where they gave them $200 million and then they gave them $250 million at another time. And none of that has resulted in like exclusive games from Epic to Sony. This time's a bigger one. This is a $1 billion investment. Does this mean that Epic's going to develop something? You know, Epic also just released their Unreal 5 engine, which looks phenomenal. I don't know if you saw any of the trailer scenes from Unreal 5.
Well, like, I saw a fan do the Legend of Zelda remake in engine Unreal 5. Like,
oh, really? Yeah,
Ocarina or something. They did an update to a Zelda game and did it all in Unreal Engine.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. Maybe you got to think that, you know, Sony's putting more money in this pot. They're going to get something out of it eventually. Just it's not publicly announced as far as what it is that Sony's doing here. But Epic raised $1 billion from Sony, and they also raised $1 billion from the Lego franchise, the Lego video game franchise or whatever else. So that's where they got most of this $2 billion fundraising round out of, which is, I don't know, fairly fascinating to see so much money raised by already a pretty successful studio. And I don't know. I feel like this has got to be like a VR play. This has got to be, you know, because Sony's always trying to get deeper into the VR thing. You got to think it's got to be that. But it's all speculation.
We know, I think there's a big race to...
Yeah, it's possible. Difference is, like, Microsoft is buying studios. Sony's just investing, right? Just getting an investing round into a major studio. I don't know. Like, that, you know, Microsoft buying Bethesda meant that they could definitely do exclusive games. You do a $1 billion investment into Epic. That doesn't mean that you're controlling the games out of there. So let's see. Like I said, I think this is going to be a VR thing. I think that they're going to try to lean on Epic going the VR route. And then, you know, you could really go speculative. I could put on my NFT hat and nerd hat and stuff like that, where Epic said that they're going to be the studio that has absolutely no problem with using NFTs, incorporating crypto payments and cryptocurrency into their future plans for gaming. So, you know, maybe this is a Sony metaverse play. Maybe this is Sony trying to really go heavy into VR games, NFT games, and all that.
I got a feeling we're going to see a Fortnite animated series at some point. You know, they're too in touch with this younger generation and kids, and sell too many goddamn Nerf toys and shit like that to not tap into a huge child's market with like a streaming show or something like that.
Did you go play the no build Fortnite?
Oh yeah, that thing is the shit.
Oh, have you gone?
I'm 40 years old. You know, the minute they took away building, I was like, now it's my time to shine. And you can
brought it back, right? Building, yeah, but it's now an option. You can play.
Yeah,
no
you
build,
can play no build still, and a lot of people are playing it just because. Yeah, it was amazing how apparent it was that a lot of these kids have no like aiming skills or like old school COD Halo type skills. Like, they just would run around the map, and when shit happens, they got them builder fingers that just fucking, you know, they make fucking skyscrapers, and they know that building strat. You take that building strat away from that 12-year-old, he's crying. He's yelling for his mom. He's saying racist and ignorant shit on a microphone. Like, it's fucking great, man. It's fucking great.
I still haven't given it a try, but I haven't, you know, I don't play a lot of games, so
I had to try it, man. Because you see a dude walking in the middle of it, so it reminds me now of a lot of, like, Halo's old big team battle, when you hit those huge fucking maps.
The gigantic maps,
and then you find
people from a mile away.
You find that one dummy running across the map in the wide open, you're like, oh, you stupid motherfucker. You just start capping at them, and then they got nothing else to do but jump, you know? Like, you see all these dudes jumping, it's like, oh, you wanted to build a ramp? You wanted to build a ramp? Can't do it.
All right, well, let's move on into, well, you know, this is our transitioning topic between entertainment and tech, and you know, I always like to start our tech time with NFTs and crypto.
Yeah.
And right now we've got an NFT, the Bored Ape Yacht Club, which is the NFT, right? It is the highest valued NFT collection that exists, and Board Ape Yacht Club just keeps coming out with hits here, and they've announced through Coinbase, you know, being the biggest only publicly traded crypto platform, trading platform, that they're going to do a three movie or a film trilogy using the Board Ape Yacht Club as kind of the IP for their film. So this is taking what is already the cheapest Board Ape Yacht Club right now is worth over $300,000. So you're taking already, like, that's 10,000 of them. None of them are cheaper than $300,000. And you're now making that IP even more valuable by putting it into a film franchise that is being funded by Coinbase, FT thing. So let's see if this is a success. But I think DGens are going to come out and celebrate this as their victory, right?
Which is pretty puzzling to me, because, like, Bored Ape is now, like, it's like car fans loving, you know, cars that they can never afford, you know, like, it's like, why are you such a fan of this? Why are you supporting this? You'll never own a Bored Ape. You'll never be part of that community. They're only using your fandom to pump their fucking NFTs even higher. Like, why do regular people care about this? Like, I am not impressed by, like, I understand it. I get it. Like, of course, it's the next progression. Why wouldn't NFTs creep into our entertainment section of the fucking show? Like, you know, I just don't understand why degens that are in, you know, smaller projects, that are supporting smaller projects and getting into mints that they can afford and they can, you know, communities that they could be a part of, why they look up to this uber celebrity NFT project where most people only own them to say they have them. They don't give a shit about, you know, like, you know, I just saw a YouTube video with, like, a Post Malone song, and it, like, opens up with him looking at his Bored Ape on his phone. And it's like, you think fucking Post Malone gives a fuck about that Discord community? You think fucking Post Malone gives a shit about their utility and shit? Like, no. So I just don't understand why the DGen community gives a fuck.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, it's just a sign of, like, you know, the revolution of Web3 and getting into these traditional spaces and film spaces, and there is a reason to celebrate that. It also goes to show kind of the importance of IP ownership and IP rights. And you got to remember, like, Bored Ape was one of the first ones that came out and gave everybody who owned their ape full IP ownership of it,
which is really cool, and
stuff like that. So they're one of the first ones that did that. So that celebrates the concept of.
But I also you get
the IP rights of this NFT, and it could turn into something. It could turn into something that either you monetize on your own. There was a restaurant that just came out this week, the Bored Burgers or whatever else that literally, like, sold out all of their food, had lines out down the street.
But I think a lot of that is only because it's a celebrity community, and they want the celebrities to use the Bored Apes, not worry about legalities. It, you know, because, like, how does a Post Malone put his ape in a music video and not get sued, not worry about getting sued?
Because he owns that ape, right?
Well, exactly. So I'm not saying they did that because of, you know, the roadmap that they had, that they always intended on doing it. And, you know, I think it's just another play for elitism in this space.
Oh, well. I talked about that a couple weeks ago when, like, the ape coin came out and we talked about it. And I said that my big downside, like, I do, you know, this is like the celebration case of what the power of NFTs and this and the community and the DGen community and the potential utilities of IP. Like, this is a celebration of all that. But at the same point, when, like, ApeCoin came out and it dropped tens of thousands of dollars into people's wallets, for holding an ape. But I said, like, you know, we're all celebrating that, oh, ApeCoin and how successful and the money, whatever else. It's like, but, like, Twitter and DGen world's celebrating it. But at the same point, it's like, no, that money went to the already rich, already very rich. Like, we're still consolidating. It's looking very much like Web 2, where we are consolidating money.
I think
to
this whole, like, mindset is very American, right? Like, well, or at least, okay, very, very Republican. Okay, so you have a whole mess loads of Americans that are poor as shit, that are always fighting to raise taxes or start social programs that are actually benefiting in their favor, because they have this feeling that one day I'm going to be rich too, and I don't want those taxes when I get rich. Like, and you, no, Cletus, you're never going to be fucking rich, okay? You're never going to need that fucking tax break. You're never going to fucking qualify. So just take the fucking free Medicare, take the whatever free program they're trying to give you and run with it, bro. Like, I think that that mindset is the same thing with this Bored Apes. Like, they see the Bored Apes and they got some weird fucking, you know, NFT in their wallet, and they're like, one day my NFT is gonna be worth 300,000 too, and I'm gonna get this, like, and I'm gonna have this coin. And like, it's this like delusion that what happened to someone else is going to happen to you, and you're just holding out for that payday.
Yeah, I still think overall, you know, it still has the potential as a net positive. Like I said, I don't like the consolidation of money, right? That the richer, that this project continues to still suck in so much liquidity, so much money in the ecosystem into it. And the people who are benefiting from it now, like, I still know people who did mint their ape, and I'm so excited for them, right? And power on them to literally be sitting
if you're a regular dude,
image that's worth 300 grand.
Fuck yeah, good for you, man.
You know, I love them for it. And I respect their ability to hold that bag this long and to continue to just benefit from it. But the people who are buying it today, right? The people who have bought it anytime in the last 6 months, those people were already rich. Whether they're crypto rich or they're traditionally rich, either way, anybody who's bought it in the last 6 months, since it's been 50 ETH and above, they were already rich.
I mean,
and
yeah,
all they're doing is getting more financial benefit for already being rich.
At this point,
right?
The only people buying them are crypto bros and sons of Russian oligarchs, so they can walk into a nightclub and show some random chick with fake boobs their Bored Ape. You know, it's a flex. At this point, it's just a flex. You know, and that's the thing is I guarantee you got frat boys screenshotting Bored Apes and showing them on their phone to get drunk girls to come home with them. But to you ladies out there, to all you gold diggers, make sure they pull that shit open in their wallet. Be like, show me that shit in your wallet. If he's just showing you a fucking,
on Twitter.
If he's showing you a lock screen, if he's showing you his phone lock screen, it's a Bored Ape, and you go home and do something nasty, you a fool. you a fool. And I hope you took plan B.
Check his wallet address. Well, I got a question for you. So on Coinbase is offering royalty rights, right? Exclusive licensing deals out of a Bored Ape. If you had a Bored Ape right now, Coinbase would pay you $10,000 for them to have exclusive licensing rights, which would allow them to put it in like this movie or whatever else. You taking that 10 grand to license out your ape that you own?
Okay, me now or the rich me that had 300 grand to buy a Bored Ape?
You who has a Bored Ape. Let's just say you minted it because you're never rich. You usually got lucky.
No, I don't. I think if the Bored Ape is 10 G's or is 300 grand, you're not even paying me, you know, that much of a percentage. Oh. It's like, what, 3%?
I was watching you try to figure out the
3%.
Math.
I got it. It's roughly 3%, okay? I move decimal places. I know how that shit works. Okay? Fucking, you're giving me roughly 3% value for my Bored Ape, so you can go make God only knows how much money off of it. Like, no, if I'm going to take my Bored Ape, and I'm going to try to market mine. I'm going to put it on t-shirts. I'm going to do whatever it needs to be done. Like, I think I can make more than 10 grand on my own than just licensing it to a Coinbase.
So I've seen a lot of people criticizing on Twitter and stuff like that about this licensing deal, how anybody's an idiot if they take this licensing deal. Now, it's 10 grand plus some royalties. Then it's like, well, I'm a lazy shit, and I'm probably not going to market mine or do anything with it. Maybe I take 10 grand plus royalties, and I just like hope that they blow this up, and I get royalties for toy sales and all kinds of things because they make my character somebody.
Royalties is different.
Special.
Yeah, royalties is different. Right? Like, you just give me a flat 10 G's. Fuck your 10 G's.
But otherwise, like, it's people talking about how, like, oh, licensing is 100 grand minimum for people to use their Bored Ape, you know, for a 12-month period and stuff. Like, well, I don't know who you're negotiating with at that point in time, but power to you.
You give me 25 grand and some percentage points, we can have that conversation.
But I don't know. Well, enough with Bored Ape. Let's talk about other big money coming into the crypto space or NFT space. And MasterCard, this week they filed 15 different trademarks, all in the metaverse NFT world, looking at using MasterCard as, like, they did trademarks for MasterCard to be used as a payment processor in the metaverse. They used MasterCard and, like, their slogans, made sure that they trademarked them to be used in metaverse systems or NFT systems, just making sure that they are widely spread out to still maintain their branding, to still be a payment processor, whether it's in the real world or in the metaverse. And then also looking at, like, NFTs and different crypto technologies that they trademarked as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's the next progression for credit, right? Like, you're allowed to use your credit card to gamble. And so I don't understand why this is any different. You know, they're willing to let you ruin your credit and go into huge debt to hopefully make some money with these things. So, you know, to me, it's no surprise. You know, money's going to go where the money is. And when you got NFTs, like, you know, the Bored Ape Yacht Club, like we were just talking about, they're going to sniff that out and they're going to figure out how they could get in on that.
Yeah, and MasterCard's actually kind of late to the game. Visa and, like, American Express, they filed their first patents or trademarks back in, like, 2020. So they saw this maybe a bit sooner. Just MasterCard's is now, it's more widely spread and it's more metaverse focused than what, like, Visa and American Express did in the earlier days, mostly looking at crypto. So, you know, it just goes to show that this is not going away, and, you know, the traditional money is still going to find a way to make money here too, as we've seen in a lot of the recent news and the people who are adopting the different banks and different financial systems moving into metaverse.
I mean, why wouldn't credit cards have another way for an 18-year-old to ruin his credit for the next 15 years?
All right, well, we can get out of crypto and NFTs, and let's make a quick correction to last week's show. This isn't a correction on our part.
No, we read the articles. We sourced it.
We read multiple things that talked about the Tesla Cybertruck cancellation and refunds on their way, and then the Cyber Rodeo, which took place at his Gigafactory in Texas. Elon and Tesla did a absolutely wild party called the Cyber Rodeo, and they talked about selling the damn Cybertruck again next year. So I mean, I guess it's happening.
Yeah. People at rodeos love their trucks.
He showed off the production of the Cybertruck. It looks pretty much the same.
He showed off a big ass cowboy hat too.
Yeah.
Did you see a picture of him on stage today?
Oh, yeah.
God.
Hat and sunglasses.
I love that awkward motherfucker. I really do.
Yeah, it's still the Cybertruck. Like, yeah, he's on stage standing next to the Cybertruck.
Yeah.
It just has no door handles now.
2023.
They took the door handles off. He now promises that the door will know when you are outside and you want to get inside, and it'll open the door for you. So I'm sure that's going to work flawlessly until that fucking day you're standing out in the snow cursing Cybertruck. But, yeah, so it still says it's gonna launch in 2022 or 2023, and... You know, he also promised that, like, next year there's going to be a scaling of production that will exceed what any company has ever achieved in history of humanity. Like, he was talking big at the Cybertruck Rodeo there.
I mean, like, so, I mean, I'm very uneducated on this, but I would have to imagine that, like, we should be able to pump out electric cars way faster than we pump out fucking regular cars. Like, the amount of moving parts on an electric car, you know, like, just think of the amount of parts that go into building an combustion engine block,
and a transmission
and the fucking exhost system and, like, all this kind of shit.
It's a whole lot more than an electric motor, wheels and a battery.
Like, how are they not just churning these things out, man? Like, I don't get it.
Well, because they have to find ways to not put door handles on there and have an incredibly complex smart door system and all kinds of other things. And batteries aren't easy to come by, and they're was a little bit of a chip shortage, and there's a lot of chips in these fucking things.
This is true. This is true.
It's probably not a matter of like actual production capacity as it is.
Why do I feel like Bezos just has a warehouse full of chips just to fuck Elon?
Oh, he for sure does.
he's just buying up chips and storing them in boxes in an Amazon warehouse. Like, fuck this dude.
But yeah, so you know, that was a quick update to that. And I guess we could just do another Elon update to last week's stories where we talked about Elon buying 9% of Twitter shares and what that was going to mean, that he was going to be, you know, on the board and maybe he's going to start making decisions.
Nope.
Well, since we talked about that, he's also announced that he's not going to take a seat on the board. He's just fucking around and spending $1 billion on Twitter stock.
Did you see his tweet too? Like he just tweeted like, now that I have, you know, a giant stake in Twitter, should we take the W out of Twitter? And it's like, just like, this is what you do with your time, bro?
Which is why he didn't want to go on the board. Because if he went on the board, he probably has like some like financial obligations to not be a clown on the
run. Well, and that's the thing is like, who knows what the SEC is going to come after him for? They already call him, you know, like for manipulating markets and shit. Like, you know, who knows what kind of joke he's going to make against Twitter, and they're going to tank the stock, and God only knows. Like, I like the minute he bought that many shares, you know, the Twitter board was just like shaking. Like, oh god, how's he gonna tank this?
All right, well, that's enough updates about Elon here for now. Let's talk about this next weird story.
It's a tech story.
I just want to.
Yeah, no, I'm all for it.
Yeah, there's lab grown meat. That's being grown by this company called Primeval Foods. They're lab growing it. It is meat. It just didn't ever exist in a live animal. And they're going, what's awesome about this is, I guess if you're going to do lab grown meat, then why not sell Siberian tiger?
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. So we're going to grow lab meat. I want woolly mammoth steaks. I want all that shit, bro. I want all that shit.
So right now, yeah, they've got Siberian tiger, leopard, black panther, Bengal tiger, zebra, and many other exotic weird meats.
So I've been all for lab-grown meat since I listened to a few like podcasts on it a couple years ago, and the potentials of it. You know, I've said before, a lot of people are only vegetarian because of the animal cruelty. So if you take animal cruelty out, you're going to eat a burger then? You know, like, is it really just about animal cruelty? Like, if we have, you know, factory farming is just a fucking horror show. You know, if we could cut out factory farming, the global warming aspects of factory farming are astronomical. If we could reduce that and cut that out, huge fucking thing. And then bonus, we get to eat really crazy shit and not worry about endangered species or animal cruelty or anything like that. The minute I seen this one though, I'm not gonna lie, so this is not a shill, I won't even mention the name, but I'm in a DAO project that owns cannabis rights. Okay, so my DAO project owns the rights to the Tiger King. We have the Tiger King weed strain. How do we not open a Tiger King restaurant now? if we own the rights to Tiger King, how do I not go to this, to the Discord, and type in my DAO like, bro, artificial tiger meat, we open Tiger King, and just totally bite off Burger King's trademarks and fucking like, just totally do it, bro. Just totally do it.
Why not? Oh, I mean, another NFT restaurant, put it to work. I mean, might as well. I don't know, this is wild to me. You know, I don't even eat meat anymore. I eat a tiger steak right now. You put a tiger steak in front of me right now, I'm eating that thing. Yeah, like,
sure. If you don't try it,
a lab grown tiger steak.
If you don't eat like one bite, if you never even take one bite, if it's in front of you, like what do you like? I just don't get. Well, a lot of people draw their lines. You know, like the minute the animal becomes too cute, you can't eat it. So like, yeah. this might fall in that realm. I'm telling you right now, I'm gonna eat the shit out of him.
All right, let's keep moving with some more tech here.
Another story I love.
Another good one.
I absolutely love.
So apparently there was a driverless car in San Francisco this week that was pulled over by a cop, it effectively pulled over. The cop goes up to the car, notices that there's no driver in there. Like, they even have the cop on camera saying, like, there's no driver. And
there's then
turns around, walks to the, turns around, walks to the cop car, and then the driverless car starts driving away again and starts to flee the scene.
It plays NWA, Fuck the Police from the horn. Like,
they eventually stop the driverless car again. It does what it's supposed to do. Supposedly, the company claims that when the cop left, the driverless car took that as this traffic stop was over and continued on. But either way, like, this is funny.
It said it was like, driving at night. It said it was driving at night without its headlights. You know, like,
it doesn't need fucking headlights.
Well, yeah. Well, it kind of does, because
headlights,
like,
are for you, not for it.
Yeah. Well, you want to be able to see where the car. If you're another driver, you want to be able to see where the car is. You're like, I don't want to be whizzing past a car with no headlights on in the middle of the night. But, like,
that's because we still have meat bags behind the wheel.
Yeah. Well, it's true.
Everything should be autonomous.
It's true. They said this isn't the first time that an autonomous car got pulled over. The Google car years back when it was the only one got pulled over for doing like 25 and a 35.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
going,
like,
too slow. Yeah.
It just goes to show you, cops don't give no fuck, man. They see an opportunity to write you a ticket or fuck you. They're going to do it. Like, they're like,
all right. I just want to know which fucking shit engineer should get fired, because they figured out how to have a car drive all the fuck by itself, but couldn't figure out how to set the headlights to auto.
Yeah. Like, my car. I haven't turned on the headlights in a car in years. Like, they're automatic.
Literally everything is autonomous in this thing, except for turning on the headlights.
Yeah, we have an autonomous car, but it doesn't have a fucking photo cell on it somewhere to tell it to turn on the lights.
Somebody needs to get fired for that one.
100%. 100%.
All right. But next time we talk about something like this, it's like a full-on Ford Bronco driving down the highway, cops following the autonomous vehicle that won't stop. That's what I want next. We're not talking about another one of these stories until we get that.
Oh God!
All right, let's move into a couple space topics here and get out of here for the week. But we've got Amazon this week has essentially come out with a press release where they hired every rocket ship company to launch their Kuiper Project Kuiper satellite. You know, the direct competitor to Starlink, low Earth orbit satellite's going to have, I'm trying to remember the number. It's less than the Starlink 4,000, but they're still going to have, I think, about 2,000 or total satellites in low Earth orbit. And they've hired on everybody, every rocket company out there, except for SpaceX.
Not everybody will look at it.
And do you think that is because Jeff Bezos, like, he just couldn't even get it to him to, like, pick up that phone and call SpaceX and ask them for a ride?
No, he's a petty motherfucker.
Or did Elon get the call and for a bid on a price or whatever else, and Elon just said, like, not a fucking chance. You're putting your satellites
Bezos didn't even call him. This was intentional.
100%. I don't think Bezos even called him.
This is intentional. Because honest to God, I really think that Elon don't give a shit about an Elon or about a Bezos. I think that if Amazon,
get the hell,
I really
out of
don't.
Here.
I think he loves trolling him. I think he loves trolling him, but only for the simple fact that because it bothers Bezos so much. Like, if Bezos wasn't such a petty shithead, I don't think he would even cross Elon's mind, throughout the day. But because, like, he's the Yosemite Sam of fucking space, and fucking Elon's just gonna Bugs Bunny the shit out of that motherfucker, bro. Like, he's got it. Do it.
No, maybe. But either way, Blue Origin, which is his other, launch company, is going to launch 12 of them. There's Ariane Space, which is a European company, is going to launch 18. And then 38 of the launches is going to go to United Launch Alliance.
I just had a huge stoner moment. I was like, Blue Origin. Oh, because Earth is blue and that's where we start from. I was like, that's where that came from. I just had a huge stoner moment. Like, it just dawned on me and I was like, holy shit.
I promise you, well, of like the 12 people that are going to listen to this, one of them is going to be like, you know what? That is where that probably came from.
And I want to smoke with that dude. I want to smoke with that dude. Or chick. Whatever it may be.
I want to smoke some Tiger King.
But like you said, Blue Origin, and just like a light went off in my head, and I have no clue what the fuck you said after that. Like my brain just went off on a tangent. It was like, oh, wow. It is, I guess, an original name.
All right. Well, I don't know where I was. All I was saying was they hired a bunch of other companies to launch a bunch of rockets to get their satellites up there to compete with Starlink in probably about the next 12 months.
Did they hire the Slingshot company?
No. And you know, I didn't dive deep into this one. I'm hoping maybe you did. Go ahead. You brought it up.
Well, we did the story when this thing like first kind of, you know, got thought up. We did like who's getting on the fucking Slingshot rocket, and like yeah, it's up and running. They're gonna start doing some test flights. They said it. You know, here's the quote: that the payload at the end of the arm is accelerated faster and faster past the speed of sound and onwards up to 50,000 miles per hour.
5,000.
My dyslexia. They like I don't know how to transfer that into G forces, but like can humans handle that? Like I don't know this.
No, the humans aren't on this. This is just a launch satellite. But I'm saying this is like just payload
like
rockets.
Yeah, like is this only just going to be just shoot up more space trash in the fucking air, or is this ever going to have utility for exploration, you know, in to space tourism that we talk about so often?
So it goes on to say like, so it launches it at 5,000 miles per hour. It slingshots it. Remind us, what was the noise you said that you thought it came out of it?
The was it the?
I think the that's thump. The one you had like the potato gun. The potato gun. So it's gonna spit out the tube after being spun in a circle and slingshot up at 5,000 miles per hour, and apparently that's going to be fast enough to take its payload and to break through the lower portions of the atmosphere, and then it kicks on a rocket engine, which with a much lower fuel cost and payload and, you know, rocket engine requirements to just get the rest of the boost needed to get itself into orbit.
So yeah, I'm assuming humans, rockets, supplies, slingshots. And if, I mean, it's not a bad plan if
it's not.
If that's all you need to do is send up more supplies to the ISS or to the moon base, whatever that fucking happens and shit like that. Like, yeah, I guess do that shit, you know, like less fuel, less waste. Like I'm assuming this thing, you know, I don't know how long it takes to set it up. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of math that goes into this. Like you ever take a rock and put it in one of those slings and swing it around and try to shoot something with it. It's fucking hard. Them fucking Indians had that shit down, boy. Like that shit ain't easy. So this is kind of like the same premise, you know, we're just fucking Cherokee shooting fucking space junk up into the air.
Yeah, I mean, it'll make it. It says that they still have a lot to figure out on how to protect the payloads. It still goes through a huge amount of stress as it gets up to that speed. And then when it leaves the tube and it initially hits atmosphere and it breaks through that like sonic boom, there's a lot of heat stuff that transfers. So they still have a lot of work to do to prepare the payloads. But the system is fairly ready.
Yeah, anything in that motherfucker that says fragile is fucked.
All right, and then last story here. SpaceX, the Crew Dragon that they launched with, that was all tourism, not a single government astronaut or NASA rep or anything else. SpaceX launched the first ever fully tourist Crew Dragon capsule that arrived to the International Space Station. So we got a little tourism going on the ISS. So it's an awkward conversations between U.S., Russia, and now just some rando tourists.
Again, man, I don't think they're saying it, but like I think this was ramped up just to make sure we get Americans off that motherfucking ISS, because like, we did that story. Russians were supposed to bring them home. Yeah, man, it's like when
they did bring some home.
Yeah, well, things change awfully quick in the geopolitical spectrum.
I mean, that's true. But this demonstrated that we can get, like, NASA right now can get a Crew Dragon capsule to go pick up and drop off people with zero pilots. Well, that's not entirely true. One of the people on this, you know, it talks about being all space tourists, but one of the people that are on this Axiom team, that is this civilian team that paid $55 million per seat on this Crew Dragon, One of them was a NASA astronaut in the 90s and early 2000s and did multiple space launches and whatever else. So they did, they paid their own dime to get somebody with some experience behind the seat.
Well, to me, this is like the equivalent of like the guy in the front of the monorail at Disney. Like, are you really driving anything? Like, I feel safer. I feel safer you're there, but let's be real.
The monorail.
Let's be real.
All right, but no, this just marks, it's not the first time tourists have been to the International Space Station. Apparently, the Russians have been selling seats to oligarchs for a long time. But this is the first U.S. and all tourist crew. Like, this is the first time that anything is launched without any government individuals, NASA individuals, inside a launch. So this is the first full-on tourist one, and it's the first of many. Like I said, this one just made SpaceX $200 million to do this. Might as well.
Yep.
All right.
Fucking space, man.
And that's it. That's a week in nerd news here. Next week, come back, celebrate episode 200.
200.
And we'll talk more, yeah, more nerd news. In the meantime, go ahead, join us over at the Facebook closed community over there at thenerdcantina.com/community. Maybe jump on a little Apple podcast and give us a review or do some of those things.
You can actually rate podcasts on Spotify now too, so if Apple's not your one,
say what?
Yeah, so there's 5-star ratings as he picks up his phone again to give us a rating.
Oh yeah, let me check our ratings real fast.
It's got 1 5-star rating because I fucking hit that shit last week. But yeah, they got ratings now on Spotify to rate your podcast, so any player that you're on that has some stars or thumbs up, Pound that shit. You know, and I'm really salty at Spotify because, like, it has this your shows section in, like, on the homepage, and it has, like, all the podcasts I've like ever listened to, but ours. I listen to ours every fucking week, and it still puts like the logo for some random podcast I listened to 4 fucking months ago. Like it's like one of quote my shows, but my actual fucking show that I listen to weekly. It doesn't put our logo up on that screen. I'm fucking salty.
All right. Well, I just checked our ratings on Spotify. And it tells me we have no ratings because you need a certain amount of ratings before they display the average. Display the so if you're listening to this damn thing before 200 of the show, I want a rating on there before we get to 200. Let's go. All right. All right. Until then, nerds.
See ya.
See ya.